We Head East. Every Monday at this time, we bring in Vince Ferrara. WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Vinny, how you doing?
Yo, what's up, guys? I'm good. How are you?
Well, there's no complaints in this market. Things are rolling along just fine.
It's been fun.
Boy, if you're a Vols fan and a Titans fan, I imagine they cross over a little bit. Pretty nice stretch of news here and results as of late. So, yeah, exciting times for sure in the Mid-State.
Yep, no doubt. I told you Trey Smith was coming back. I told you. That was so easy to predict.
Yeah, I have the tech screenshots to show it, too, so we can put those out there.
That was Vince's rebuttal of, you're a liar, and that's true. I am a liar because I thought, why would you have a press conference? Even though we said all last week, guys have done it. Jordan Matthews did it here for Vanderbilt. Like, they have had press conferences to announce they're coming back, but, I mean, most, they have a press conference, they're saying, I'm leaving. But not Trey Smith. He said he is indeed going to return.
Well, and he admitted that he didn't tell any of his teammates. So he kept it from everybody. I mean, he has some very close teammates, and he didn't tell anybody. He probably made his decision a few days beforehand, and he kept it quiet. That's how you pull something like that off that surprises people is – you don't talk, and that's hard for most people to do. But, you know, it came down to he was very emotional in his press conference. He talked about his late mother that he made a promise to, that he would get his college degree and play in the NFL, that those are his two promises to her when she was ill. And this is his way of checking that first box without a doubt. Could he have gone to the NFL, come back and gotten it and finished off his education? Sure. But this makes sure that he's got that checked off, and then the NFL is right there following so he can get those both done. And, you know, he's a guy that I've made this observation in putting camera or microphone in front of him an awful lot this year and when I've covered him at Tennessee. Even when he plays well or gets weekly honors, dominates his opponents, when we talk to him, he never seems satisfied. He feels like, oh, man, I should have done this and this and this. And he's passing off the accolades, the attention, the recognition to someone else. And he always feels like he's very, very critical. He's his own worst critic. And, look, that's a trait that a lot of great athletes, great performers, skilled people in any field or line of work have is they are their own toughest critic, and they always want more and more and more. There are things he can improve on, sure, but he felt like he another year in the plan. And here's a key thing that we found out later in the day. Jeremy Pruitt kind of slid this out, is they're hoping that they can have a plan for him to be able to practice an extra day, and the way I interpreted that is with more contact this year. Maybe get a day of some contact this year where this past year that didn't happen. And so I think that's what ultimately can ease the concern of the National Football League, is if he can maintain his plan in dealing with those blood clots and then also have some more contact as well, and have that go smoothly, I think that would only raise his stock for the NFL. He said it was a business decision, but obviously it was a personal one as well. So it was a combo, surprised a lot of people, but does make some sense because there is room for him to really cash in and be a much higher draft pick if next year's plan goes well.
What was his draft grade? Do you know?
You know what? I don't, and honestly, I haven't dug into it, but that's something that Jeremy Pruitt didn't want to share. He wasn't specific on it. My guess is that it was mixed enough to where there was room for improvement.
I'm thinking second, early third, something like that.
You know, I was thinking maybe in the second range, but I think the point being is that there was enough of a wide range of, you know, hey, this isn't guaranteed. So, you know, when the NFL, the more they start to dig in the medical, as you guys know, the closer you get to the draft, the more they're finding reasons to mark you down and to have questions about you. So they're only going to be more and more critical, unless you're a quarterback, of course. But, you know, I think he sees that there was a room for improvement. It's, you know, it's something that if he can solidify himself into a top half of the first round draft pick next year, if this next season goes well and the team has success as well, you know, it's going to be a good financial decision for him. Obviously, there's some risk that, you know, he may have a setback in some form or fashion, but, you know, he's a smart kid. He's a kid that loves the University of Tennessee, has a desire to be great, and, you know, they could have an awfully good offensive line next year as well. It looks like it on paper, at least.
Well, let's get into that. So, Cade Mays, transferring from Georgia, he's going to Tennessee. What's going on? I mean, this is kind of a crazy story, so kind of get everybody caught up on, you know, this story. Is the attorney came out, and this is the same attorney I think that represented Justin Fields, and if he is set to become eligible this upcoming season, I mean, wow, for the offensive line. But before we talk about the offensive line with him in it, what, tell us a little bit on this whole story, the background story.
Well, you know, there's certainly, it goes back to recruiting visit for Cade Mays. His father was there, and his father played at the University of Tennessee.
His brother plays there, right?
His brother was in this past signing class.
Okay, so right.
Going to be an incoming freshman, Cooper, and so they were on a recruiting visit, and his dad had a finger severed off when it got caught on a folding chair, and somehow it cut off the end of his pinky finger, I believe. And so Sam Pittman, the offensive line coach at the time, you know, grabbed it and they put it on ice. And then so he's now got a lawsuit, his father, towards the chair manufacturer and school. And that lawyer that's worked with NCAA cases before is the one that's working this case. And, you know, he feels like that Cade is going to be able to get immediate eligibility. It looks like this is a way to get eligible immediately, but that's not certainly anything that they're going that route saying that it's connected. He thinks that Cade Mays will be able to get immediate eligibility. We'll see. But if he does, he's going back, obviously, to his hometown where he grew up and played here in Knoxville. You're looking at this Tennessee offensive line that had two freshman five-star tackles this past year. Trey Smith is a former number one overall player on ESPN. He's a five-star. Cade Mays was a five-star coming over from Georgia. You're looking at them likely having, if Mays is immediately eligible, four five-star starting offensive linemen.
Oof.
Plus, your center would be a sixth-year returning starter that played for you all this past season, and Brandon Kennedy, who says he has been granted that sixth year of eligibility by the NCAA because of all the injuries he has dealt with throughout his career. And they also have four other, if no one transfers, and that's certainly possible, as it sits right now, they have four other offensive linemen that have starting experience in addition to that group. But not many teams can trot out four five-stars out of the five on their offensive line. It will completely change the expectations of this team and be so different than what the narrative and the conversation has been going into the last several years about one of the weaknesses of the team being the offensive line, that immediately flips to a strength of this team. Mays, say one quick last thing on Mays. Mays has great potential. He has a nasty edge like Trey Smith does. and he was bounced around an awful lot in at Georgia in positions, can play all five positions for you. But I think he slides in perfectly at right guard for this team and settles that position that was so unsettled with injuries and so forth last year. He probably hasn't played to his five-star ability, but he hadn't been a bust by any means either. And you wonder in this situation if he's able to get continuity at just one position, be home and be happy, brother on the team, all that, if he's able to really find that five-star talent that made him one of the better offensive linemen in the country coming out. This could be some kind of unit that Tennessee hadn't seen on the O-line in an awful long time.
Interesting. Your gut feeling quickly is that he is going to be eligible immediately or not?
I probably they'll find a way because he's coming home and there, you know, there's that lawsuit looming. It probably will end up happening. But I, you know, gut is strong. I don't know. It's the NCAA, so
right.
You know, good luck predicting them when it's not a prominent quarterback. Prominent quarterbacks, yeah, you could take that bet. But everybody else, who knows?
Maybe Philip Fulmer should have another letter just drawn up just in case for the NCAA in case it doesn't go their way. You know, a strongly worded letter just in case, and maybe that'll work for them. The fact that the basketball did not go their way, so maybe that'll change on the football front. All right, we'll come back. More with Vince Ferrara on the other side. There's some players that are transferring in. We'll talk about that. Also, where do some of these seniors play their All-Star games? And then some guys that will be on display tonight growing up as Tennessee fans. We will talk a lot more about that with Vince Ferrara on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back here on Darren Donican Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app, talking to Vince Ferrara from WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. And Vince, we talked about Cade Mays and what his transfer means, but there's some other transfers that could be coming in as well. What do you know about them?
Yeah, neither one of them have a couple of wide receivers. Neither one of them have been announced by Tennessee, but they've been talked about by the players that they're headed to Tennessee. One of them is Velus Jones Jr. He is a grad transfer wide receiver from USC. Obviously was coached by T. Martin in his time there. Hasn't really made a huge impact as a wide receiver. But he's an excellent return guy and could very well fill that role for Tennessee next year with Marquez Callaway moving on to the NFL. So he's one of them. And then the other is a Nebraska wide receiver that was originally a three-star, Mike Jones, that says that he said in an interview that he was coming to Tennessee. He was looking to try to get closer to the state of Florida and the South where he's from, and that he was going to join Tennessee as a walk-on. So Tennessee typically doesn't announce those additions anyway as walk-ons. You just have to wait to see him out there or see him on the roster. But he also has not had a big career or anything at Nebraska. But Tennessee's low on numbers and wide receivers with Callaway and Jennings and Tyler Byrd moving on, graduating. So, it's not surprising that they're going that market. And they added a couple of guys in the recruiting class in the early signing period also and could still address that position in the February signing class as well.
Six UT seniors will be playing in All-Star games coming up here in just a little bit. That has to say a lot about the growth of the program.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I'm a little surprised that there's not a bigger group of those, Chase, that's going to be in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. I thought it's Juwan Jennings and Daryl Taylor at the moment, and some of these guys can move up if players bow out or decide against going, and then they fill those positions. But you have those two guys at the Senior Bowl. Nigel Warrior is joining Daniel Batuli and Marquez Callaway at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, and then Dominic Wood Anderson is playing in the East-West Shrine Game. And you know what it tells you is, guys, any of those guys that are going to any of those collegiate bowls, they're on the radar for being drafted. And you could very well see some or all of those at the combine also. And considering Tennessee has had nobody drafted in three of the last five drafts, it's going to be a much different conversation going into this year's draft with guys at the combine, guys with an opportunity to raise their stock. So we'll see what they do with it. But it's
can
crazy.
You say that again, just out loud? Say that again. Just three out of the last 5 years. Say that again.
Yeah, Tennessee has not had a player drafted in three of the last five drafts. Now,
holy moly!
The years they did, they had, you know, good healthy numbers, you know, four or something like that. But when it's been dry, it's been dry. You look at guys in the NFL. I mean, the two guys that made an impact this year as rookies in the NFL from Tennessee were both undrafted free agents. Kyle Phillips played a lot on the Jets D-line, and Shy Tuttle on the Saints D-line. They didn't have anybody drafted, but they had undrafted free agents play. So a lot of Butch Jones players that, you know, everyone talked about, they weren't developed to Tennessee. They're finding a way to have success in the NFL. The lone remaining active roster Tennessee volunteer is Emmanuel Mosley, who will probably start at right corner for the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC Championship game against the Packers, because Othello Witherspoon was the other corner opposite Richard Sherman. He didn't play well. Mosley came in and played well, finished out that game, and he could well get the start. So he's a guy, you know, there's a bunch of those guys, Justin Coleman, that just didn't play well in their time at Tennessee, or at least were inconsistent, that now are you know, playing well on the highest level. And you could definitely see some of those Butch Jones originally signed guys have success in the NFL. At least for Tennessee fans, they saw those guys develop a little bit before they left for the NFL.
Vince, before I get your prediction for the national championship game tonight, I know that there are a handful of Clemson players that have Tennessee connections, grew up Tennessee fans, and I believe Trevor Lawrence is one of those guys. But just, you know, the connections between the Vols and some of these stars playing tonight.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's one of those things that when it's brought up, it hurts Tennessee fans, and it's a reminder of the missteps in recruiting for Butch Jones. And any time I've heard analysts say this, and I don't buy it whatsoever, that it's not about the guys you didn't get, it's about the guys you get. Well, look, the guys you get, yes, those are ultra important, because if you get the right guys, it can lead to winning. If you get the wrong guys, you're stuck with them and you have to do something with them and they're taking up spots. But this thought that the guys that you don't get don't matter, that's a bunch of nonsense. They absolutely matter. I mean, when you have difference makers, you're talking about Trevor Lawrence, T. Higgins, Amari Rodgers, Trevor Etienne. Four guys at Clemson in what's developed into a dynasty that could be maybe validated with another win tonight. And you have four stars on that team that say, oh, we grew up a Tennessee fan, and they're not at Tennessee, and they're talking about what could have been had they gone to Tennessee. Oh, yeah, we could have been legends, you know, like Peyton Manning and things like that. I mean, that's just sticking that knife in and spinning it. And they're not doing it to get at Tennessee or anything. I think it just shows that the guys that you don't get still impact you. And look, Clemson continues. At Brian Tucker, an offensive lineman from Catholic High School in Knoxville, he signed with Clemson in the early signing period. They continue to recruit this area. And because of their national brand, they can go anywhere they want, not just Knoxville. So it's just another reminder of the improved talent in the state, and that, boy, what could have been had, you know, any one of those four or all four come to Tennessee instead.
So who wins tonight? What do you think?
You know, no disrespect to any of those guys, but I like LSU. I think Joe Burrow is less prone to a mistake. Look, this is elite. You're going to see both of these offenses put up ridiculous numbers. Joe Burrow just to me, just doesn't have mistakes in him. He's so poised and smart. I think he's always going to have an answer. The blitzing of Clemson, I don't think that's going to work like it did against a banged-up Justin Fields. Burrow can escape the rush. He can identify the right matchups, know where to go with the football. And I think LSU, people are underestimating how good they are on defense now that they're healthy. They have a lot more stars and game changers on defense than Clemson does, who has Simmons. But I think it's a little bit more of a team defense outside of that. I like LSU to win 42-28 tonight.
Wow. If you're not excited about this game tonight, I don't know why. You must not be a football fan, because we're watching two of the number one picks overall in the NFL draft the next two drafts, period.
Oh, yeah, and a ton of other
– I mean, just think about
that. A ton
that.
Of other first-round talent as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's going to be littered with guys from this game. But, I mean, the number one pick overall in the NFL draft for the next 2 years, they're going to be playing against each other in the game tonight. I mean, Joe Burrow is going to Cincinnati, and Trevor Lawrence will be number one in next year's draft. I mean, that if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what else they can do. So let's just hope it's a good game. That's what I'm hoping
for. Yeah, and it's inside, so there won't be affected by the elements. I think the crowd could impact Clemson a little bit. I don't think they face a road crowd like they will tonight to that extent. But I've told you guys this before. I even if the game was at Clemson, I would still pick LSU to win. But I think that could be something that Clemson has to deal with. They have not all year. They have the experience on their side and, you know, great coaching. But I think there's awfully good coaching on LSU's side. So much talent. It's ridiculous. And I love the coach's film room, too. That's one thing that if you get a chance to check that out and you have not before, coaches breaking down what they see as the game goes along. It is so much fun. I'd DVR that bad boy and go back and watch the whole thing. You can learn an awful lot of football from those coaches. It's cool.
Derek Mason will be one of those coaches in that film room.
Really? Tonight? Okay. I hadn't seen the list of them. That's awesome.
It's the second time he's done it. So, yeah, I'll be one of the coaches in there. Appreciate it as always, Vince. You have a great week, and we'll have lots to discuss next Monday.
See you, Vince.
As always. Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you. Appreciate it.
All right, Vince Ferrara, Sports Animal in Knoxville. At Vince Sports on Twitter. Give him a follow. We'll come back with more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Speaking of that national championship game, we will get the perspective of both schools to kick off the fourth and final hour. But right now, I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And a lot of they know a lot of you have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board certified physician over there, and his wife Daphne Lodge, who's the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to give you men out there the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And I hope you want that, especially as we all get older. Their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They want to improve that. And that's exactly what they've been doing. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. If you want to achieve that healthy lifestyle, what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone. Make that appointment like I have. I'm going over there today after today's show. But you have to dial 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always check them out on their website, coolspringsmd.com. The early returns on the Titans game in Baltimore was Mark Benda from News Channel 5, who sends these out. He said the preliminary ratings were 40.9, but he said he calculates, he's pretty good at doing this. Whenever that comes out later today, he believes it's going to be around a 42.3. And he's been pretty good at, like I said, figuring out what it's going to come out and be. Like I said, we'll find out officially later today. If it's anywhere near or it's at 42.3, that would be the highest rated Titans game since they lost to the Ravens in the playoffs back in 2009. So over a decade ago, when it was a 46.2 a decade ago.
And I would imagine this next game will be even higher. It's the first time in 17 years that they've been in the AFC Championship game. As I said in a meeting this morning, put this in perspective. Our morning show host, Derek Mason, was playing. Our afternoon show host, Floyd Reese, was the general manager of the Titans the last time they were in the AFC Championship game.
We had wall-to-wall coverage. We had a guy by the name of Mike call in, and this is what I know, praising the coverage. We had 10 hours of pregame. Yep.
And we're going to do it again. I can go ahead and put out there, I'll be going to Kansas City again. So we'll have you covered for all the pregame stuff and everything this week leading up to the game.
Even had some postgame on Saturday night, too.
Elijah and Calvin did a postgame show Saturday night that I called into and had a Dory Jackson as well. So it was good.
Very nice. So it was more than 10 hours.
Oh, yeah. We'll sleep when the run's over.
So the plan is...
as I look at my flights.
Wall-to-wall again on Sunday. So get ready for that. Remember, that is a 2:05. It's the first game.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's the first game, and then the 49ers-Packers will be the second game. I'll tell you what, it's pretty interesting, and also to watch, and it doesn't really, I've always told people, don't get caught up over the years, because when people get so butthurt over the national media not giving the Titans love, it's like, who cares? What do you care? But I know people do, and there's a lot of talk. I mean, I get it. They're down to four teams. They're kind of forced to, but... You turn on the television, whether it's NFL Network, whether it's ESPN, whatever your preference is, there's a lot of talk about the Titans. Because I think a lot of the national media are going, man, we really haven't talked about this team, and they're in the AFC Championship game. Maybe we should start talking about them a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you should. I think you should indeed.
Well, they are. I'm just saying they are. But... You know, for the people who do care, they are indeed talking about them a lot, and there's a lot to talk about. I mean,
well, I guess we're watching ESPN, and I saw somebody say that the Titans, it's the ugly, like the way they win is very, very ugly, but I love it. Like it's
why is it ugly though? What's ugly about it?
It's because they're not. I mean, they dominated the Ravens. I mean, they controlled that game. But, I mean, if you look at some of the ways they've won some of these games.
They had
three
turnovers.
Yeah.
They stuffed Baltimore four times going for it on fourth down. And I think this is right. Baltimore, did they not go perfect in their fourth down conversions throughout the course of the season?
That sounds right, yeah.
They stuffed them four times.
I just
on
think.
Fourth down. They created three turnovers. Derrick Henry rushed for almost 200 yards. I mean, he did something nobody's ever done in back-to-back playoff games. So what's ugly about it? They really have gone into Foxborough and Baltimore, and dare I say it, have been in control.
I think people are saying that just because of what we were talking about, that you just nobody envisioned the Titans being here at this point because of how dominant Baltimore has been. Because of New England being New England, I just think people look at it as they've been unconventional at times.
Like,
and
boring was the Super Bowl. If we're just being flat-out honest, the Super Bowl last year was boring.
Right. Very boring.
Patriots and Rams, that was boring.
But if you got 49ers-Titans, that'd be entertaining.
But what?
Or Green
Bay-Titans.
I mean, doesn't
matter. What difference does it make at this point? I don't.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
49ers, I mean.
I think either one.
I don't know what the country would think. I mean, I don't know. I don't care how the country reacts because probably, I mean, Kansas City and Nashville are lesser markets, but that has not changed the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. The Super Bowl is going to have monster ratings no matter what. It's the one sport that really, the market really doesn't matter. It doesn't. The NFL has been able to sort of, the whole thing of, you know, oh, it's Buffalo or it's Green Bay. It doesn't matter. The market size hasn't really affected it. I know we try to pin that, and especially in a lot of other sports, and I get that, but it really hasn't affected this league.
No,
doesn't matter
I
who
mean,
gets
it's,
in.
It's the championship weekend.
You're
going to
have a 50 rating for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
No matter
doesn't
who
matter.
It is.
It doesn't matter. So I think the league just wants No, I think they want a competitive and a fun game, but it isn't going to matter at this point. And but, you know, if you're looking at it from the star standpoint, I mean, in the AFC, you're going to either get Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, or you're going to get Derrick Henry, the leading rusher. And not to mention, you know, the others, but Derrick Henry is obviously a big name in the league right now because of the season that he's had. And then on the AFC side, as you mentioned, you get Jimmy G and the 49ers and Shanahan, that offense, or you get Aaron Rodgers. So either way, you're getting some star power.
We had a lot of good calls for This Is What I Know. And I told you what Mike said, talking about our coverage, but Nate also called in and brought up the Chiefs fan. And I was unaware because, you know, quite honestly, I watched the game, but I didn't do all
didn't
the follow
up. Didn't
keep up with all the follow up afterwards. It just, you know, we got other things to talk about here. But evidently this fan was Charles. It's a little bit bigger deal than I realized. SportsCenter just interviewed him. He was on freaking SportsCenter. He was brought up in the Kansas City Chiefs press conference, the post-game press conference to Patrick Mahomes.
I know, and Patrick Mahomes' response was hilarious.
Right, they asked him about, you know, what he should do, and he said he should stay home is what he should do. Because evidently this guy stayed home. Remember last year when they beat the Colts to advance to the AFC title game? Remember, this is going to be back-to-back years at Arrowhead for Kansas City in the AFC championship game. Last year they lost in overtime to the Patriots. But he did not go to the Colts game because the Chiefs had not won a home playoff game in 25 years. 25 years! So he stayed home and they beat the Colts. Well, then everybody was telling this guy, don't go to the AFC championship game. Don't go. He's like, nah, they're going to beat the Patriots. I'm going. And they lost. And so now here we are back to what happened yesterday. They get down 24-0. He's at the game. Fans are telling him, leave. Get out of here. And he left. And he documented it with the video. So it's just amazing how this guy is getting so much coverage. Like I said, they just interviewed him on SportsCenter.
But, hey,
it's a fan who left the game.
Which he's probably
24-0.
He's probably not the only one that left. Newsflash. He's probably not the only one.
But this guy's the one who's getting all the attention.
But you put a video on the internet and it goes viral, and all of a sudden you're getting called to do SportsCenter, and I'm sure now, you know, he's going to be the brunt of jokes, and the Chiefs will probably.
Is he going to the game, though? That's what I want to know. Is he going?
No, Mahomes told him to stay home. You listened to Patty Mahomes.
I know, but that doesn't mean that he's going to. The question is he going to stay home?
Yeah, I would.
Well,
if
for
I'm
the
him.
Titans' sake, I hope not.
Oh, true. That's a good point.
They need him at Arrowhead.
Yeah, come on. Come to the game.
Yeah, why would you be telling him to stay home?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
All right, we'll come back, close out hour number three of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Elijah Campbell, who's behind the glass, brought up an interesting point as we were kind of talking about all the matchups. We brought up earlier in the show, like, wouldn't it be fitting? Like, the Titans have to go to Kansas City and win, because wouldn't it be fitting for Ryan Tannehill to end up playing in the Super Bowl in Miami?
I know.
Like, if you're a Dolphins fan, and actually one of the dads at the house was a Dolphins fan, and he admitted to us Saturday night how painful this has been, even though he, you know, he's a Dolphins fan, but he obviously, now they live here, so he is hardcore rooting for the Titans. But how painful it is and to root for the Titans with Ryan Tannehill having success as a Dolphins fan. He grew up as a Dolphins fan. And there are probably a lot of Dolphins fans that feel the same pain. And can you imagine to go down there and just to make them have to endure a week of Ryan Tannehill being discussed, being the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans in the Super Bowl?
Hey, that was the decision that they made. The team around him wasn't very good. I mean, well, there were at one point. He did help get them to the playoffs one time, but then was hurt and couldn't play. So was that Matt Moore, I guess, that got the start? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's also a situation where a guy gets a change of scenery and it's going to be better for him. I think Marcus Mariota could fall in that same category if he goes somewhere else next season. But, yeah, I can only imagine what it's going to be like for a Dolphins fan. One of my best friends is a Dolphins fan, and she's brought it up several times of, I can't believe that Ryan Tannehill has helped lead the Titans to this point. Now, does it look like this if they don't have Derrick Henry? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And that's not a stretch to say that. But Ryan Tannehill has done his job since he took over as the starter of this team, and good for him. He deserves it with the work ethic, and I think it would be a tremendous storyline for him to play in his former stadium in the Super Bowl.
Well, what I was getting at with Elijah, he brought up during the break that we had been talking about how it would be fitting for Ryan Tannehill, and we were talking about the matchups. You know, either way, it's going to be a good matchup if it's the Titans versus the 49ers or versus the Packers. But the one element that I had not thought about that he brought to our attention is if it's the Packers, you know, you immediately, at least I do, I think Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
We're forgetting a big one.
But we're forgetting, like, for the sake of what we're talking about in this market, Matt LaFleur versus Mike Vrabel.
Matt LaFleur.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
I've got to be honest.
Because I hated the hire. I didn't think it was a good hire. When he left for Green Bay, I was like, okay, good luck with that.
I have, you know, for people that maybe just started listening or you weren't listening when Matt LaFleur was leaving, I said, I really enjoy it. Like, I get it. I understand why he was hired. Because if you meet Matt LaFleur, he's so engaging. He's so personable. It's so easy to root for him and like him. The first time I met him at training camp, he came on the show with us. He talked to us the whole break before the interview.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed the entire break after the interview until we were coming back on the air. And we just had a great conversation like we've known him for years. Like I said, very personable. Like, I get it, how he could wow you in a press conference, or I mean, in a interview setting. But did I think, you know, did he blow everybody away last year? First year really calling the plays as an OC? He really wasn't doing that in LA with the Rams. We kind of know who's in charge there. And I didn't think he was ready. I was like, no. I get it. People are saying Matt LaFleur.
He's going to be a
head coach. He's going to be head coach one day. It's not now.
Yeah.
So clearly I was wrong. But wow, he is another one. He is one step away from being in the Super Bowl as the first-year head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Matt LaFleur, the Packers, they're one game away from playing in Miami. And by the way, for all the good to great stuff that we talked about this year, and after a while we're like, let's just stop bringing that up, like just enough. Has it already gone from good to great, or do they have to win this one? Or do they have to win it all? Like, what is great? We've never established what is great.
Because that's the thing. They don't – if you look at numbers and – I mean, Derrick Henry's great. But, I mean, it's really hard to quantify what that means.
I know, but like right now today, have they gone from good to great?
I mean, you have to say yes.
Or do you have to see more?
Darren, they're in the AFC Championship game. I mean, you have to say yes. I know it's crazy to think because they, you know, they don't play perfect football, but they're finding ways to win. They're capitalizing on opportunities. Teams that capitalize on opportunities, in my mind, are great. And sometimes, what's the saying? Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. I mean, there are times where they've had some luck go their way. So it's a combination of everything.
Luck doesn't, I mean, that. I don't care about, like, that doesn't, like, everybody gets lucky, honestly. You have to have luck.
There is big news out of baseball, by the way.
You have to have things go your way. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Houston Astros GM Jeff how do you say it? Lunau. Thank you. Manager AJ Hinch have been suspended for 1 year.
The GM and the manager?
Yes. After MLB.
This is the stealing the signs?
Yep.
Oh, there it is. I just, 45 seconds ago. Wow.
They going to do the same to the Red Sox because they got busted with something similar.
Lunau and Hinch suspended for 1 year, and they lose a first and second round pick.
Oof.
In the 2020, so this year's draft and 21. They lose a first and second round picks in both this year's draft and next year's draft, and they get fined $5 million. Now that is throwing the book.
That's a punishment.
Mm. Wow. Holy cow. Do you think Major League Baseball found some stuff?
I would say so.
What did they uncover?
I would love to find out, and I
the
have a feeling
goods,
we will.
Apparently.
Yeah. Saying they used technology during their World Series season to steal signs. Technology to cheat during the World Series winning 2017 season.
1 year suspensions for the GM and the manager of the Houston Astros, and they lose a first and second round pick in consecutive years in the MLB draft, and the organization is fined $5 million. Wowzer.
Sheesh.
Okay. That's a way to wrap up the third hour. We'll come back. We'll get perspective of both LSU and Clemson. The national championship game is tonight down in the Big Easy. New Orleans is the host city for LSU and Clemson. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff. We'll start off on the LSU side of things. Matt Mascana will join us next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.